Traces of Love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Mrs. Duval in?
No, she isn't. But she'll be back right away.
Oh.
Oh, I know who you are. I know, you're Tony. Tony Cushing. Anthony Cushing.
Tony will do.
Come on in.
Thank you.
You remember me?
I never forget a pretty face.
I mean my name.
Well, sure.
See? I just don't have the personality that lingers. I'm Nancy Reed. I met you once.
Of course, I do remember. On the steps outside the studio club in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, I think it was. At 2:00 in the morning, you hated me.
Well, I was younger then. Can I take your coat?
No. I'll just drop it on this chair.
Shall we go in the living room? We have sherry, scotch, claret, root beer, and Mrs. Jessup's ghastly pick-me-up.
Jessup's ghastly pick-me-up. What's that?
Well, she makes it with mead and says it's good for the liver. Want some?
I don't think so, thank you. Well, are you living here now?
Oh, no. I live in an absolutely grim house with overprotective parents.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
No, they're okay. I mean, they'll do as parents go. They'll just never be with it. So tell me about yourself, Tony.
Where do I begin?
With Kate.
Oh.
She's away, you know.
Yes, so I understand.
She was right about you.
What does that mean?
Oh, it wasn't what she said. It's the way she said it.
Said what?
Anything about you. As if you were sort of dangerous and compelling.
Kate said that?
No, I said it. But she goes for you, and I can see why. You've been around, sort of, come with me to the Casbah.
I'd be delighted.
You're married, too.
Well, in a way...
Now, what does in a way mean?
Nancy, I'm married, and I'm not.
You are with it. You know, that's what I'd like most. A married man who'd show me the world and no ties to bind.
Now, if I were you, I wouldn't go around saying that to anybody.
You're not anybody. You're Tony. Kate's Tony, right? Right. Hey, where do you think I really belong?
A lot of places.
No, I'm serious. I mean a job. I'm dying here. Dying.
Oh, well, I'll give it some thought, Nancy.
Well, I have a definite offer to work on a chicken farm.
A chicken?
The man... Oh, there she is. Aunt Isabel, look who's here.
Why, Tony.
Hello, Isabel.
Oh, what a nice surprise.
Thank you. I wasn't sure...
Gotcha. I'm on my way.
Come again, dear.
I'll think about your problem, Nancy.
Oh, I'll settle for that. Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a dear child.
With some very advanced ideas.
Oh, that's today, Tony. And what brings you to Bellhaven?
I want to know where Kate is.
Well, then, let's sit down. All she told us was that she was going to Maine with her friend Trudy.
Yes, I got Trudy's address from her office. Kate isn't with her.
I didn't think she would be.
But you have some idea where she is.
Yes.
Isabel, I don't like to have to come here like this, beg you, when I haven't any right, really, but I'm worried. Why would Kate go off like this without telling anybody?
Perhaps she needed to. I'll tell you this much. In the happier days of her marriage, she and Tom used to go to an island off the coast of Maine. I think she's gone back there.
Alone?
Apparently.
Well, wasn't it sudden, her going?
Very.
Is she staying on the island?
Oh, she's done that before.
Well, if I knew where it was, I'd go up after her.
If she'd wanted that, she'd have told you herself, Tony.
I don't like it, Isabel.
Well, neither do I. But that's all I can tell you.
What's the name of the island?
Now, there's no phone.
Isabel, for God's sake, are you just going to let me worry?
Oh, I don't know what to do, Tony. There have been storms up that way today, and Well, I have a number to call, but I haven't got through.
All right, now let me take over for you. If Kate's all right, I promise you I won't bother her. Let me have that number, will you? Please.
Fast.
Oh, Ben, I'm so glad to see you.
I couldn't make it in the small boat against that wind. I went back for the big boat when I saw your flares. You sure you're okay?
Yes, I am now.
Pretty smart to put those flares up. I knew I had to get over. You want to come back right now?
Oh, no. There's a fire in the fireplace and the lamp is on.
I see it now.
I want to get back up there.
I shouldn't have let you come over here alone with the wind rising, but I thought Joey was with you.
Oh, I sent Joey back to the mainland. I just wanted to stay here for a while alone.
But you're all right.
Ben, I wasn't alone. Oh, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you?
Yes, tell me. If I'd had any idea that there was a man staying on this island, it... Well, it isn't that I minded his being here, but...
He, came back.
He never left. He was right here in the cottage when I walked in. But you'll see. Look.
Yeah, kind of spread things around. Kate, I don't know what to say. I thought he'd gone. Where is he now?
I don't know. He heard the boat coming. He got excited. He ran out. He must still be here on the island.
He's only got a little skiff. Couldn't get off yet.
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
He didn't harm you, Kate.
No, he didn't. But he terrified me. I just kept him talking.
Good.
There's something wrong with him. Ben, you know that.
Yep, I felt sorry for him.
So did I. Did you know he knew Tom?
Guess I better tell you, Kate. I'm ashamed of what I did, but... reckon you want to get away from this place.
No, I don't. I want to stay here for a little while. And I'll feel that it's mine again. Did he tell you he knew Tom?
He didn't tell me anything. Even his name, for a while. He was just here one day when I came over. In the summer. Over a year ago. He wanted to stay. No trouble, nothing. Just stay here.
And he paid you?
Didn't pay me to stay. I wouldn't have taken that. It wasn't rent money. He paid me and Joey to bring him supplies and let him know when anybody was coming. He didn't want anybody around. Oh, I'm sure sorry, Kate.
Oh, he can stay, Ben. He can stay. I just don't want him to scare anybody again.
Kate, I wouldn't have let you come. Only I came over here early before you came out. And he wasn't around. His skiff was gone.
Where does he keep it?
On the other side of the island, in that little cove.
That's open water.
I told him, but he hardly listens to you. He's sick, I think.
He's very sick. He needs help.
You better leave him be, Kate.
Ben, that was your way, just to leave him here alone like a sick animal.
I kept an eye on him when I could, but he wouldn't let you come too close or ask any questions.
If only you told me.
I'm sure sorry. I wouldn't have let him scare you for anything. Well, storm's about over, Kate. We better go.
Ben, I want you to do something for me.
Sure?
I want you to help me find him.
Now?
Yes, before he tries to leave the island.
Kate, let him go.
But when he goes, I don't think he'll come back.
Then good riddance.
No, it isn't good riddance, Ben. He was a whole person once. He lived a whole life. And part of it was with Tom.
That don't make sense, Kate.
No, it doesn't, but then nothing in my life makes much sense now. But he's out there, sick, maybe even dangerous.
You want to help him?
I don't think he'd let me. But he's the only person in the world who can help me.
Did you
you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Gentlemen, I am in most genial spirits today. A pretty tune parades through my head. Rawdon's and Becky's tune. Green sleeves was all my joy. Oh, yes, yes. I feel obliged to write of Rawdon and Becky. What shall I tell you of them? Green sleeves, my delight. Shall they have their first quarrel? No. I'm in too jocular a mood for that. Green sleeves was my heart of gold. Oh, would you fancy a glimpse of the lovers walking in the pure white snow? Becky with red mittens, red cap, red cheeks. And who but my lady green sleeves? Yes, I'd pass that hand in hand. The pretty maid, the handsome gentleman. Upon me word, what is this? I was eager to write an idyllic scene as soft as falling snow. And what have we instead?
My feet are cold as Napoleon's heart.
My ears are froze. Damn melted snow, black with soot. We'd best go to Auntie's.
Oh, I'm very tired of Auntie. How she does relish being ill, ordering everyone about, waited upon hand and foot.
How ill is the old girl, truly?
A little lonely, more old than ill.
I'm very tired of Auntie, too. But for her tight hold on her purse, we'd not be walking in this confounded cold park. Feet wet, nose froze, hands frostbitten.
Oh, it's no good trying to talk at the house, even do we arrive separately. Miss Briggs sniffing about, eye and ear to keyhole, I'm sure.
I'm not talking about talking there. Talking about a carriage. Not a hackneyed coach, either, if I'd enough shillings to hire one. Coach of my own, coach and pair. You beside me whilst I drive.
Why will she not buy you one, you've asked?
Last night asked, not before.
Never before?
Never cared before. Rode Hector. Didn't have you.
What did she say last night?
Said ride Hector. Was I to tell her I wanted to ride with Miss Sharp?
Oh, what a shame you had that quarrel with Lady Isabel Blessington. Oh, shall we? Have you make it up? Dear Auntie must have a red coat and pair of greys to drive Lady Isabel about. Shall we?
Dangerous, Beck. Aunt Matilda would have her round to call, ask questions. I'd be obliged to court Lady Isabel in earnest. Propose, that sort of thing.
No, I'd scratch her eyes out, and yours as well.
Then we don't make it up, do we? Jove, my ears are... I can't we go to my flat?
Oh, you know there's not time. I tell your maiden aunt I'd walk in the park with my Gordy for 1 hour only. How is my Gordy?
Don't speak of that bounder to me.
Rawdon, what if Auntie wants to see him again?
Tell her Private Hooton, Private Gordy was shot at sunrise for blackmailing an officer of His Majesty's Horse Guards. By the gods, I'd like to shoot him. But for that 250 I'd get off Auntie, she might shell out for a coach and pair.
Oh, dear heart, I must go.
You're not to go until you answer me.
You've not asked me anything.
Don't pretend. You well know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, I do know.
Waited all during this walk for you to bring it up. Not a syllable. And that's your answer.
Rawdon, darling, secret marriages are frightfully dangerous. People find out.
How? No one would be at the wedding. The clergyman, if we ask him, don't tell.
Such things have a way of leaking out. The sexton of the church tells the sexton of Miss Crawley's church. That sexton tells... Oh, dearest, I'm so fearful of spoiling everything we plan.
I'd be very sure you don't spoil it by not marrying me.
Oh, now, don't say that. You know I want to. But a secret marriage is no marriage, truly. We still must live apart.
Apart, yes, but... You'd be my own, belong to me.
I belong to you now.
You belong to Aunt Matilda.
Only because I must make her love me. Then it's safe to be married. She does, almost. A little more time, dear Rawdon.
Damn me, a little more time is intolerable. Any time waiting is intolerable.
But safe.
When, may I ask, have you cared tuppence for what is safe? The day you rode Hector, were you safe? All that we do safe? Meeting even here in this bloody cold park safe?
The money your aunt means to give you if you don't cross her is for our whole lifetime together. Oh, why won't you be reasonable?
Is love reasonable?
Oh, I must go. The hour is past.
Go to Aunt Matilda, then. Do what pleases her, not me.
Oh, I've never seen you like this. Oh, I love you this way. I'll go back now and think more upon a secret marriage.
Oh, will you, my love? The answer is not yet no?
Not yet. How can it be? Oh, kiss me goodbye. No one is about.
What fools but us would be about in the snow.
Oh, your nose is cold, my Becky.
Oh, but not, oh, not my heart.
Ah, there now, my little snow scene thawed out at last. Surely listeners agree that Becky is quite right, but also agree that Captain Rawdon Crawley of the Horse Guards is bringing up the heavy cavalry. Now then, we must wait for Becky to arrive at Park Lane before we can continue.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
That maiden lady, Miss Matilda Crawley, has been moved from bed to chaise, able now to enjoy a view out a window. Oh, do not imagine, dear listeners, that all the while the shrewd old London lady has not had a lurking suspicion of her affectionate nerves. Not of Rebecca and Rawdon, thank the gods, not that, but this.
No one does anything for nothing. Ah, well, Rebecca is the greatest comfort and convenience. Just as well she is not yet to marry that Gordy fellow, or she might leave me. Yes, it's just as well. Oh, there she comes, tripping through the snow. I'll not any more be lonely and bored. Oh, how good to be home by a cozy fire, Miss Crawley. Oh, how is your French novel?
Oh, I do wish life were as interesting and exciting and surprising as novels.
This book is full of delicious intrigue and secret goings-on. What lies people tell. What burning passions and broken hearts. Whereas real life is dull, dull, dull. But not for you, I expect, Becky. How was your walk with Private Gordon?
Cold and sweet. He was being very manly today. Oh, I do love him that way.
One despises a milksop, doesn't one? But you frown. Has he disturbed you with all his manliness? Men can go too far in these matters.
It is something Gordy told me about Captain Rawdon. I'm wondering if you should know.
If it's to do with me nephew, indeed, yes. Something not pleasant, my dear.
Perhaps he's told you himself about a carriage.
Carriage? Oh, he'd ask me for one. I refused. I bought Hector for him at a shocking price. Why should he need a carriage? And what, pray, has Private Gordy to say of it? What affair is this of his?
None. I regret I mentioned it. Will I ring for tea now?
What did your young man say?
No, please, you're quite right. It's none of his affair. Crumpets or toast or both.
I want to know.
I don't wish to make you angry.
I shall be angry if you don't inform me at once.
Oh, very well. Gordy tells me Captain Rawdon is the only officer in the Guards who does not have his own coach and pair. The others make sport of him because of it.
Sport of him? Of my Rawdon? Why didn't he tell me?
I expect he didn't like to take unfair advantage. He wanted you to give him a carrot because you wanted to, not because you were forced.
What a dear boy he is. How dare those jackanapes look down their noses?
My own thought exactly, Miss Crawley.
How generous and forgiving you are, dear Becky. Rawdon has treated you most discourteously, will not even consider a flirtation. Yet you come to me to help him.
I don't think it's seemly to hold grudges. And you don't mind my telling what I told?
Mind? I'm very glad. Rawdon shall have the handsomest of coaches and a finer pair of thoroughbreds than any officer in the regiment.
Ah, and you say I am generous. Now, shall I ring for tea?
No more wet feet in the park. Becky and Rawdon henceforth can ride in style, provided no one sees them. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, I shall expect you again, and I am, as always, your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Nice sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Author Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Who's that at the door?
Delivery man.
What do you deliver?
That big box.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know. I assumed you ordered something.
What does it say?
Mr. and Mrs. Robert Baxter. That's us.
Who's it from?
Well, from a Mr. A.W. Dawkins, Harrison Publishing Company, Long Island, New York.
Publishing company? Who's A.W. Dawkins?
He got me.
I didn't order anything from any publishing company. Books?
Not heavy enough for books.
Big enough for books. Must be 2 feet square.
All right. Quit getting so nosy. It's probably a Christmas present. I'll put it in the closet and you can open it Christmas morning.
Why would we get a Christmas present from an A.W. Dawkins? Anyhow, I don't think that's a W. Doesn't that look more like an M, doesn't it, on there?
Oh, my. Isn't that exciting? Are you getting Christmas presents already?
No, I don't think so, Aunt Maggie.
I think so, Aunt Maggie. But you know Peg. She can't wait to open presents.
Oh, you're being very cute about this. Is this something you ordered for me?
No.
It is.
It is not. I swear to you, I have not ordered a thing.
Haven't you even thought about what you're getting me for Christmas? You always wait until the last minute when everything is picked over.
I know exactly what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Well, now, don't tell her. You know how she is. She'll keep after you, ask you to drop hints.
Yes, I know how she is.
No, I'm not asking you to drop any hints. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
I'm getting you just what you asked for.
I didn't think I asked for anything.
Oh, certainly you did. You said this year we had to cut down, and I was not to spend a lot of money. I was not to be extravagant, right?
Right, that's right.
You said all you wanted was a little hanky or a box of bath powder, so I'm taking you at your word.
Oh, that'll be the day.
Yeah, I'll say. Can you see Peg's face Christmas morning if all I gave her was a handkerchief?
Yes.
All right. The only reason I would be surprised is... Who uses handkerchiefs anymore, anyhow, in this age of tissue?
What are you doing?
I'm going to open the box.
No, you are not.
Yes, I
obviously,
am.
It's a Christmas present.
Isn't it obviously a present at all? It must have been something I ordered and forgot.
Hey.
I think I ordered a cookbook.
A cookbook would not come in a box 2 feet square.
Well, all right, then. Who is Mr. A.W. Dawkins? I mean, I don't think this is a Christmas present at all.
You just can't wait until Christmas, can you? You're just like a child.
Well, I don't think this is a Christmas present. And if it is, who is it from?
That cousin of yours who stopped in here with her husband a couple of months ago. Wasn't their name Dawkins?
Yes, but that was Harriet, and his name was Bill.
Well, they had dinner and stayed overnight. Maybe this is a little hostess gift.
Well, it's not so little.
We got a hostess gift from them, don't you remember? They went on to Vermont and sent back that nice bun warmer.
That what?
Bun warmer. To keep the rolls and buns or muffins, whatever, hot on the table, you know. You saw it. We've used it.
Oh, yes. I forgot. That's right. Did you ever thank them?
Well, of course.
Oh, yes. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
yes. Oh, did they send that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they live on Long Island somewhere.
Westbury.
Maybe they're sending us a Christmas present.
Bob, dear, Harriet's husband is William Dawkins, not some name that begins with A. Why would they send us a Christmas present? Harriet and I may be cousins. We don't see each other, but about every 5 years or so, we exchange Christmas cards, and that's about it.
We stopped overnight with them when we went to Philadelphia last summer to that wedding of your old school friend, remember?
Well, of course I remember. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you said you didn't see Harriet very much.
Well, I don't.
Well, you've seen her twice this year, once at their house, and then they stopped here.
That's right, so...
I think what Bob means, dear, is that maybe Harriet was just so glad to see you again that she just decided to send you a little something for Christmas.
Well, this big box does not look like a little something, and Harriet is not so carried away by the spirit of Christmas she's going to start exchanging gifts with us when we never have. Or is she? What if she has sent us a Christmas gift?
All right, what if she has?
Well, we better open it and find out so we can send something back.
The spirit of Christmas is giving, not exchanging.
Well... And we cut our Christmas card list down this year. I'm not sure what we didn't cross Harriet and Bill off the list, too.
I don't know why you're so worried about Harriet and Bill. If his name is Bill, which is William, this isn't from them anyway.
I know. What other Dawkins do we know?
Well, one of your bridge club friends, Doris...
Yes, and her husband's name is Arthur. A. A. Dawkins.
Well, there you are. Your friend Doris probably ordered something sent to you.
Well, this year we all agreed we were not going to exchange. We had a big discussion at Bridge Club, and we all agreed. No exchanging of gifts this year. We were all cutting down. No, I don't think Doris would send one anyway. Or would she?
I'm going to hide this box in the attic, and you will solve the mystery on Christmas morning.
Stop,
now, let's go.
You know, Doris would do this. She's got so much more money than anyone else, and she's always showing off. I know what it is. Publishing company.
Yes.
You don't know it all.
Yes, I do. It's my book club. I ordered a small magazine rack months ago, remember?
No.
Yes, and they enclosed a pamphlet with some things you could order besides books, I mean. And I've forgotten. I sent away for a small magazine rack to have by the bed.
You know, I don't believe you at all. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Open it. You will never be able to wait until Christmas, so go on. Open it. Haven't you got that box open yet?
Come on, give me a hand. There's so much tape on this and cord. I couldn't find the scissors. Any scissors?
Here. I couldn't find the scissors, but I brought in a knife.
Well, just slice it underneath there, Aunt Maggie.
You know, you really are something. Well, you can't wait for Christmas.
Well, if it is a Christmas present, I want to know what it is and who sent it so we can send something back. I mean, all is being...
There. Yeah. What is it?
I don't know.
Take it out. Oh.
Why, it's a lovely traveling bag.
Oh, isn't it? Yes, it's lovely. Tapestry.
Yes.
Looks like the old carpet bags they had when I was little. My mother had one.
Well, it wasn't even wrapped.
There's a big red bow on it, so it is a present after all.
All right.
One less package to open on Christmas morning.
All right. Well, I still want to know who sent it. There's no card.
There's a little white tag tied on one of the handles.
Oh, yes. It tells what kind of bag it is. I guess it's a... No, it's a printed...
No name on it?
Listen to this. I've been designed just for you. When you travel, take me too. Then your host won't have to pack things you leave and mail them back.
Whoa, what does that mean?
There's something in the bag. Where have we been? We left things.
Oh, well, unzip the bag.
Oh, how we hate people who leave things. Where did we go that we... My green sweater. I couldn't imagine where I lost it.
My good bedroom slippers.
Your toothbrush. My lightweight paisley travel robe. What else?
Where were you that you left them?
They were at Harriet and Bill's on the way to the wedding, remember?
Uh-huh. You said this couldn't be from Harriet and Bill because the initial is A. Dawkins.
I think his nickname is Bill. I don't believe his name is William. It's Albert or Alvin, something like that. Look at the things. We left it there. Oh, isn't this terrible? Oh, this is awful. The book I couldn't find.
Hey, my address book that I lost.
There it is, yeah.
Must have laid it down by that telephone, you remember?
Talk about our house guest. Didn't we pick up anything we left there? Oh, this is pretty cute of them sending things back in this lovely new travel bag. Why aren't we this nice about it when we send things back to people instead of getting so annoyed?
I love the card.
Yeah, I do too, really.
I've been designed just for you. When you travel, take me too. Then your host won't have to pack things you leave and mail them back.
You know something even funnier? When they were just here, Bill left one of his pipes and his tobacco pouch, and Harriet left her chain belt and her hairbrush.
Have you mailed them back?
No, I completely forgot. I couldn't find a box just the right size, so they're in a plastic bag on the closet shelf.
And doesn't Bill work for some publishing company?
Well, I think I'd forgotten it. I think he does. I don't know. I think so. Oh, dear, now we'll have to send their things back in some original way.
Let's just mail them back. I don't feel like trying to be original. Hey, wait a minute. Let's send their things back in the same bag.
Oh, no. I want the bag. It's lovely. That might be insulting. I think.
Well, I think you better eat dinner first. The pork chops are going to be all dried up.
I know. Let's send them a cute telegram.
Oh, honey, you and your cute telegrams. When I think of the hours we've wasted over somebody's birthday or an anniversary because you wanted to send a really cute telegram.
Noel Coward always sent clever telegrams.
That's because Noel Coward was clever.
So are you. And we send lots of funny ones that you thought up. The one you sent the Fraleys on their wedding anniversary... It was years ago, and they're still telling everyone about it.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, honey, that was clever. Now, here's the rhyming dictionary. You get going. I'll set the table. We can work on the telegram during dinner. Be thinking now. You're really marvelous at this sort of thing, honey.
Yeah?
You're really marvelous.
All right, let's see. Now, we're going to waste all evening at this. Wait a minute. Received our things, returning yours, which... Should I think even the scores? No, that's not so good.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Ginger, where is my blue tie?
On the rack in the closet.
On the rack? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here it is. Yeah.
Marsh, you'd better hurry if you want to see Betsy before she leaves for school.
One more day, and Emily hasn't been told. I've got to get Jason to face it somehow. I'll see how Jennifer is today, and maybe... Oh, well...
Drink your milk, Betsy.
I have to finish dressing.
You look all right to me.
I have some new makeup I want to try.
Oh, Betsy.
Hi there, honey.
Hi, Dad.
How are you? Hey, fresh homemade applesauce.
And here's some hot buttered toast, and here's the coffee.
Thank you. Where's Cora?
Oh, she left early to get some Christmas shopping done for Zeb.
Betsy, how's school going?
Okay.
How's Susie?
She's okay, but she's worried about Jennifer.
Jennifer's getting better, isn't she?
Yes, but they don't know how long it's going to take.
Oh, maybe you'd better take Charlie back to the Carters.
Mom, can I keep him? At least till Jen's out of the hospital.
You know how I feel about cats.
Well, don't my feelings count?
Betsy.
He's not much trouble, Ginger.
I just don't like cats. They should be outside.
It's cold out there. Come on, Charlie. You can stay in my room.
Ginger, couldn't we let her have a pet? She really enjoys taking care of him.
They're just messy and too much trouble.
We're lucky she doesn't want a horse.
What are you saying?
Well, look, honey, a lot of girls her age are crazy about horses, so let's settle for a small kitten or a puppy.
The trouble is they don't stay small.
Yes, in time everything grows up, including Betsy.
Marsh.
All right, we can't talk about it now.
We certainly can't.
But someday, Ginger, she's going to have to know.
If you could give me one good reason why.
I'm afraid my reasons, good or bad, don't seem to matter to you.
I'm not thinking of myself.
I'm not so sure about that.
Charlie's locked in. Where's my lunch?
On the counter there.
Oh, fine. Well, bye, Daddy.
Bye.
And Mom?
You'll be right home after school.
As soon as pom-pom practice is over. Bye.
So long.
Bye.
Pom-pom practice? Why don't they have something for the girls to do?
That is for the girls.
No, that's for the boys, the football players and the basketball players.
I wish you'd go out with one of them instead of that Chucky.
Ginger, the days of wanting to date the football hero are past.
What makes you so sure of that?
Well, girls are getting a little smarter about such things.
They still compete to be cheerleaders and pom-pom girls.
Yes, because that's what they're expected to do.
And what's wrong with that?
People have to find the difference between what they want for themselves and what is expected of them.
Oh, Marsh.
And children have a right to expect things from their parents, such as honesty.
Not that again.
Well, you wanted to know what reason I have for wanting Betsy to know she's adopted.
Why now? What good would it do?
Ginger, I wish we had told her from the beginning. There was no good reason not to.
I never want her to know she was illegitimate, that her mother couldn't keep her.
That would hurt Betsy. Only if we make it important. If she thinks we feel there is something shameful about her birth.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Well, it wasn't really much of a house, at least if you saw it today.
Was it really a log cabin, Aunt Cora?
Only part of it, honey.
Oh, Cora, why do you bring up all the old stories?
I like it, Mom. Well, you've got to know where you come from before you know where you're going.
What part was the log cabin?
The first part, of course. That house had four additions on it. It rambled up the hill like ivy.
It had been in our family for generations.
As far back as anybody could remember. Anyway, the log cabin part was our kitchen. And we had a big stone fireplace, and it was all smoked up from years and years of fires.
Remember we used to pop corn and roast apples? Roast apples?
Oh, my, yes. Little red ones. We'd put them on a pointy green stick and then hold them in the fire, and they'd start to sizzle, and then they'd pop open.
Sounds great.
And one time your mother's stick caught on fire, and we all yelled at her to throw it in the fire, but she hung on to it for dear life.
I saved that apple.
And our room was in one of the additions upstairs, under the eaves.
What are eaves?
You don't know?
Nope.
Well, it's a slanty roof. The only place you could stand up straight was in the middle of the room.
We had a big double bed and a quilt Mama made.
And on rainy nights, we could hear the rain, and we'd snuggle down in the bed.
Is the house still there?
No, the last time I visited the old place, it was all gone, except for the fireplace. It was still standing, and wild grapevines were growing all over it.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Maybe on vacation we could visit.
Oh.
You'd like Burtonsville, wouldn't she, Ginger?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't very happy there.
Oh, honey, we had some good times.
It's funny. You remember the good times, and I remember the bad.
What do you remember, Mom?
I remember not having a new dress for graduation. Mama had promised me one, and at the last minute, she had to use the money for the insurance.
Well, you graduated, and with honors, too.
Oh, I was so ashamed. I couldn't even look up when they handed me my diploma.
Nobody there knew your dress was cut down from one of Mama's. It was her only good dress, remember?
Maybe they didn't know it, but I did. And I still remember how I felt.
Have you seen Jennifer today, Angela?
Yes, Marsh. We're going to try to get her up on her feet this afternoon.
One of these psychological tests scheduled.
Well, Joe Gonzalez wants her to get a little stronger.
Yeah, but you know her almost as well as anyone. Do you think she's suffered brain damage?
Oh, it's hard to say right now. She doesn't seem to remember everything. Oh, Marsh.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, Angela. I know. I know what she means to you.
Well, she tried to feed herself this morning. And when she couldn't, she looked so hurt and puzzled.
Yeah, but you see, she's trying. She's trying. That's what's important.
I'm worried about Emily.
Oh? What's happened?
Marsh, she knows Jennifer isn't responding normally.
Oh, but look, Angela, she knows Jennifer's been through a lot. After all, the fact that she's alive is a miracle.
Well, I know, of course it is. Thank God for Joe Gonzalez. If he hadn't been with us up at the cabin...
Right. I checked up on the submersion and hypothermia case Joe knew about, and there's very positive information. I've got it right here on the desk. Where is it? Wait a minute. Here it is. The patient, this is a quote, the patient went through a period of slow cerebration and motor dysfunction, but recovered rapidly, and on examination 13 months after the accident, all findings were normal.
Oh, that is encouraging.
Yeah, I'm making a copy for Jason. And you be sure to tell Emily, won't you?
Oh, yes, I will, Marsh, and thanks. It's hard to believe that she was in the water for 45 minutes and Joe was able to bring her out of it. It was freezing up there. I just never forget it.
The worst part's over now.
Marsh, when is Dr. Szabo going to get back to you on Emily?
Well, I have a call in for him now.
Well, it's certainly taking a long time.
Yeah, but there was the holiday.
Oh, since when have consulting neurosurgeons taken week-long holidays in the middle of a consultation?
Angela, Szabo's a very independent character.
And a little heartless, too, I'd say. He has to know the importance of a prompt diagnosis.
Maybe he doesn't have anything to tell us. And therefore, there's no hurry.
Marsh, do you really believe that?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less? To Have and to Hold features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily. Also appearing were Geraldine Hanning, Sherita Bauer, Rosemary Rice, and Robert Phelps. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Mary Dornheim, audio engineer Jerry Bornstein, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.